Back. Angelica's here, yay. So welcome everybody, welcome back to class number two, session number two of the Exceptional Practitioner Mentorship Group. And so I was so excited by our first session together, meeting all of you and just really touched by the commitment and the level of depth and sharing that we went to so quickly as a group. So just to get us started, I'd like to just take a deep breath. Everybody just take a deep breath and let's do a little bit of landing and grounding. So I want you just to tap your feet on the floor, just kind of like this. Tap your feet on the floor and feel the bottoms of your feet and do some deep breathing and then tap your legs, tap your chest. Take a couple deep breaths and some big sighs of relief. Tap your face. Tap the top of your head and get in this body. Come off the ceiling and down into the body. Tap your feet again. Shake off your hands. Shake your head out and your neck out a little bit. Lift and drop your shoulders. Remember that you have a body because we sit in front of this computer screen so much that we want to just discharge and remember as we sit here that we are in a body. We are occupying a body. The body is not you, but you live in the body. Just like you live in your house, you're sitting in this room that you're sitting in. You are not the room, but you are sitting in the room. You are sitting in this body in the same way you are sitting in the room, but you are not the body. You are this spiritual, essential self that we're going to talk a little bit more about today. So take another deep breath. Honor this body that you're sitting in and this room that you're sitting in that's keeping you from the cold out there, the winter cold, which is very cold for some of you. And I'm just really happy to be here again with all of you. So I want to just start, we're going to do a brief check-in in just a minute with everybody again and just kind of do some landing. And before we do that, I want to just acknowledge that as we journey through this course together, that the purpose of this is one of the purposes of this course is to, or the most important initial purpose of this is to learn how to create, what it means to create a healing presence. So that when you sit with a client, you're not sitting there with your analytical, judgmental mind, but you're sitting there with your whole self, your whole being, your essential self, your open heart, and you're using this well-developed intellect of yours to help you make connection with and facilitate a healing dynamic between you and your client. So we're creating a healing presence, a healing essence. And this happens whether you are long distance over Zoom like we are right now, or whether you're sitting face to face with them. So because it happens through consciousness, and consciousness is not limited. It's not limited to spot existence in physical time and space. You're in your location, I'm in my location, in our physical body. But our consciousness is in one classroom right now together. We've just entered our virtual classroom. We are here together as a group. So I want you to take a moment to look at every thumbnail picture of every person in the room. Give them your loving, healing presence. See everybody who's with you today, with us today, and we're creating this beautiful healing soup together in our virtual classroom. We're creating this healing energy just through even our group experience. So as we feel it here, as in that open-hearted way here, then we practice it this way also to be able to bring it in more fully with our own clients. Okay, so let's see. So I'd love to start by just doing a quick check. And I asked you all to, in these couple of chapters that you read for homework over these last few weeks, to pick one of the seven spiritual qualities that were noted in the book and to think about what you felt like you needed to work on or wanted to work on or focus on to develop more for yourself. So as we do this check-in today, I'd love to just hear a little bit of touch-in about that and what you selected and what you might have found or noticed for yourself. And then anything else that you want to share. And we'll just, again, we'll keep our sharing to about 1 minute or so each. So, Lynn, I forgot you last time. I'm remembering you now. I'd love you to start us off today.
So I'm working on humility, understanding the quality of humility and what that really means, because so often we look at humility as kind of a, like we're submissive or we're less than. And so I'm learning to understand where humility fits within me and how I can use that to bring better parts of myself out.
Beautiful. I love that distinction that you made between humbleness and feeling less than, because they really are two very different things, and they can be, you know, sometimes tricky to discern. So good for you. Thank you for that. Jan.
I define that. I'm actually working on innocence. I read through them all and thought they all would be great. But next week we're going to Disneyland.
Oh.
And so I've really committed to just not worry about all of the price tags and not worry about everything back home or work or anything. I'm just really going to try and enjoy this with eyes of innocence, with the grandkids, be fully present there for them. And so, yeah.
Beautiful. I love that. And what a great place to go practice that innocence at Disneyland. That's great. Thanks, Jan. Jill.
I also chose humility. And I feel that humility will deepen my myself in myself, in my body. And I did notice just with a focus of it, I did feel a greater presence of myself within myself, mm-hmm. and a broader awareness of my surroundings and people. And so I feel like it's a quality that will deepen me. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm working on.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, it's such an important characteristic, humility, you know. And as I said in the book too, each of these qualities is also a frequency. It's a frequency. It's not just a quality. And when we sit in that state of humility, it creates a vibrational frequency that's healing, that people can feel. And that's so important. So thank you, Jill. Debbie, I'm wondering if you can lean a little forward into the, I think there's a plate. Yeah, there we can see you much better there. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I enjoyed reading all of them too. And I worked on forgiveness, in particular, actually self-forgiving myself. Because I noticed that I can get hard on myself if I'm not doing things, I don't know, just that perfectionistic quality that I've worked on for years, but I can fall into. So when I catch myself doing that during the day, I just be like, I forgive you. And it was so powerful. And I just let it go and move on. And
nice. I love what you said too about like that conscious awareness of it, right? It becomes a practice. Like that's that mantra, I forgive you, I forgive myself, I forgive myself. That mantra, or I forgive you, you know, for not being perfect. And that's how spiritual growth happens, through conscious awareness, conscious practice. Was there something else you wanted to add there that I jumped in on?
No, that's what was really helpful. It was just that kind of quick little practice. It was really great.
Beautiful. Thanks, Debbie. Valerie.
I knew you were going to call me next because forgiveness was mine too.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, the perfectionistic tendencies and setting the bar too high and then not living up to it. Yeah, working on that.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. Laura.
So I worked on love, and I found that as I was love, I was totally open, and I feel like all the other systems are in love. So I felt like I was very, very with the other, even though in the past I wouldn't want to speak to this person. I was listening and there. And full of love, and actually at the end of the day, like five different people wanted to take my phone number just because I was open and full of love. So it was quite interesting.
Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful. Talk about a client attracting magnet, right? To open your heart and practice love, and I love that you got that immediate, like, oh, five people want to connect with you, so. Yeah, it's very attractive. Thanks for that, Laura. Christopher.
Yeah, I chose to work with purity. Some of the reasons, just I realized I have a lot of fear and worries about starting a brand new practice. And so I've just sort of used I am pure as a mantra and sort of took it from there. But so, yeah, purity is what I chose.
Mm, nice. Yeah. It'll be so interesting to see how it will inform your practice as you develop it. So keep us posted on that.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Heidi. I'm not hearing you. I'm not sure why, because I know I saw you unmute. No, can't hear. Oh, I'm getting some noise now.
Can you hear me?
Yay! Yes.
For some reason my earphones aren't working. Hi.
Hi.
I think I choose innocence right now because, I mean, there's a number of them I think are really worth deepening for me right now. But innocence, I think, because I think there's large sections of my life where my sort of inner magical child and optimism pieces were squashed. People saying, no, you need to, just use your head and be reasonable. I mean, not reasonable isn't the right word, but just the whole grown up, mature, be in your head. And it didn't let, they wanted to, I had lots of ideas and lots of energy and, lots of openness, and there's lots of places in my life where that got kind of, people were trying to narrow that down and say, that's not how life is or whatever. And I wanted life to be more magical and open. So I think bringing that back into my life, which I've been doing some as I open my practice too, because I'm bringing that to life with money, which is usually not thought of as something in that way either. So so that's something for me to work on. Also, I have a quick question because I think I might be missing something because I only received the email with the homework in yesterday and the time before. So I'm just wondering if I'm missing where the homework is coming up sooner, or is it actually that we're going on a schedule where I need to block out a bunch of time on Friday to be ready Saturday.
Yeah, my apologies if you guys didn't get the full syllabus, which maybe you didn't. So, and Lynn is saying, yeah, you didn't. So we're remedying that right away, and you'll get the full syllabus now very soon.
Right.
So apologies for that.
Yeah, I realized that myself yesterday. And so what we've done is we've taken the syllabus, and it's going to be showing up as a document in your IME member site, and we'll send out a link as soon as we get all put together. So okay. You should be seeing that next week.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And so I'm not as prepared today because I didn't get all the way through it, but thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you, Heidi, for bringing that up. So, so my apologies, everybody. You'll get the syllabus soon. Ruby, I'm glad we get to see your face today.
Oh, I have to unmute, right?
Yeah, there you go. We got it. Yeah.
Okay, so yes, I'm glad that I allow myself to be here today. I'm glad that Heidi mentioned about, you know, not getting the things a little bit earlier because I'm very nervous actually because I like to be a good student, but then I didn't finish all the homework. So the quality I'm focusing on is forgiveness. I think right now where I'm in my life, I have the two little kids, 4-year-old and then 1-year-old. And then I think a lot of time is just, I cannot really control my own schedule. And then so like, I really want to do, you know, the nutrition work and then learning, you know, while you're teaching, I'm very interested. But a lot of time I find myself just feel I'm always running behind. And then, or in my head, my interpretation is that I'm running behind and then I feel, you know, like a failure. So I have to live with like, it's okay, this is a season of my life. And then I have to be okay with that imperfections and know that everything is part of my journey, helping me to grow. So just to even allow myself to ask for help and being here this morning. So that means a lot to me.
Thank you for sharing that. And I'm so glad that you named all those things for yourself, that's what's on the table and you're really working with that and making that conscious, you know, conscious focus. And also that you kind of caught yourself in with what you were just sharing right now about your interpretation of it. Yeah. And I love that you caught that's right. That's an interpretation of the amazing, you know, things that you're juggling in your life and struggling with the thought patterns, right? The behavioral patterns, the thought patterns that are learned, you know, they're just learned. They're programmed in there from our early childhood and you're consciously working with them and that's beautiful. So it does get easier and it does get better with practice. So that's great. Thanks for sharing that, Ruby. Kimberly.
Hi. Well, like Christopher, and for similar reasons, I picked purity. As I'm kind of growing and expanding my business, I've noticed some doubt and insecurity. So I love how you wrote in the book that with purity, there's no room for doubt, fear, or insecurity. So that was my quality this week.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that, Kimberly. And by the way, when we do our breakout sessions, Kimberly and Lynn, who are on our teaching team, will be kind of facilitating those breakout sessions that we do. We'll do a brief one probably every class. So I'm really delighted to have them both participating with us to hold that space and help facilitate those sessions. So thank you. Martha. You're still on mute.
Sorry. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm not coughing. Yay. like everybody else, I did not know what the assignment was, so I read most of the book. But the interesting thing is I probably would have picked humility, but the energy that was out there in the world that I lived in, I really had to work on forgiveness. I live in an area where a lot of people were not getting paid. So I think the energy, because I live in like a federally paid area, there's a lot of negative energy out there. And I had two or three people kind of come at me in a strong way. And I was glad that I had read the book because I didn't have to forgive myself. It was like, okay, take a deep breath, figure out what's going on. And I got out of my ego and just said, you know, if I bothered you somehow, I'm sorry. Which was not having to be, you know, I realized I didn't have to be right. Felt like I was because they attacked me, but it was really okay to put myself in that position. I felt like I was the stronger person because I said,
wow, beautiful.
This is not really a big deal. So, you know, people get upset over just things that don't really matter. So mm-hmm. I was glad that I got to experience that opportunity mm-hmm. and recognize it and just say, hey, it's okay. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. We can make this better.
Yeah, beautiful. I love that you caught yourself and that you made that shift. And, you know, and I love the feeling when I get to have a humble moment too, that it feels so good, you know, like, wow, a real moment of, it's a very different kind of pleasure than the pleasure of being right, you know?
Yeah, I got to leave. I mean, I got to hang up the phone and another time just leave the scene. It's like, mm-hmm. Wasn't anything dramatic, but mm-hmm. I felt empowered by being able to take that position that I was able to recognize what was going on mm-hmm. and I was able to shuffle it in a different direction.
Very nice. Thank you, Martha, for sharing that. Chris.
I have been working on forgiveness. I also thought that I just messed up and solved the assignment for the first time yesterday, but when I reflect on the week, it's been, I've been dealing with like expectations for myself, expectations for other people. So I think just, I've been trying to feel like forgiveness for people not being what I wish they would be, or for myself, mm-hmm. just being wherever I am right now. So forgiveness.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Thanks for that. And yeah, forgiveness is something that we get to do over and over and over, right? We get to practice it over and over. And I, you know, when I hear people say, oh yeah, I forgave that person a long time ago, I just choose not to ever talk to them again. It's like, okay, well, wait a minute. You know, there's something maybe missing here because forgiveness, I feel in my experience, is not necessarily something that I do once and I'm done. But it's a practice. I sometimes have to do it over and over and over and over. So thanks for sharing that, Chris. Angelica.
Good morning. I'm on the forgiveness train also. I think that, when I saw the assignment yesterday, I kind of reflected about the week and what naturally I was, where my attention was, and forgiveness toward myself. When I come up against life transitions, like I just accepted a new job offer, I just moved states, I tend to get into this moment of kind of questioning, did I do the right thing? Am I totally messing up? Am I doing my life right? And that, you know, that requires like a large degree of self-forgiveness, of accepting where you are. Mm-hmm. And not dwelling on the past, wondering if anything could have been different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that you're catching yourself with that. And I love that you're catching yourself in going, the tendency to go to the past, especially when we're in a big new transition and change and those doubts come up, right? So, and that's the practice. Okay, how do I stay in the present? How do I forgive myself? How do I let go? How do I, trust where I am? Beautiful, beautiful practice of staying present. Thank you for that. Okay, so let's take a look at the PowerPoint. So let me do a screen share here. And we'll go to okay, so here we are at session two. And we just kind of discussed the seven spiritual qualities. Wherever there is conflict, there is a limited perspective and a spiritual lesson yet to be realized. So you are here. There's a huge perspective, and we can get very myopic when we feel hurt or in a conflict in some way. So what I would like to do for a moment is I'm going to give you an example of this for myself in my own life. There is a person in my life who comes through from time to time. And whenever I see this person, all my judgments just go like shooting way up. Like, this person is arrogant and they're withdrawn and they're withholding and they're, and they're unkind and they're uncaring and they're hypocritical. I mean, I just like the judgments just go rampant through my mind, right? And so I want you to take a minute for yourself and just jot down, like, think of a person in your life that you struggle with, a one specific person where you feel triggered by. And I want you to write down the list of qualities that just really trigger you about that person, whatever they are. It could be somebody in your life now. It could be somebody that's been in your life in the past that you dwell on, you know, just make a list of those qualities that really bother you in that person. And so the next question around that is, how am I embodying those qualities in myself? Where and how do those qualities, so for me, where is my arrogance? Where are the people I withhold from? Who are they? Who are the people that I withhold my love from or expressing myself to? How do I walk around feeling superior? So there's a saying, what we reject, we project. So what we reject in somebody else's behavior, I don't like that this person is like this, this, and this. I don't like that this person is arrogant and is, you know, withholding and is, but I do that. So where is that and how is that showing up for me in my life? And it might be more subtle than I can typically find or identify. It might be more subtle than what I can overtly see in this other person, which to me is so very obvious. But for whatever reason, I'm so honed in to these characteristics. I'm so sort of, and this is all internal. I would never tell anybody that I have this going on inside, right? This is my little secret between me and God, you know, like he knows I've got these judgments that show up around this person. So my work is where and how am I still embodying that? So we want to distinguish judgment from discernment. So when I take a close look at what I am projecting and rejecting in myself onto this person, I'm in judgment. So judging a person does not define who they are. It defines who I am. Because there's someone else who I know well who looks at the same person and just sings their praises to me. Oh, they're so dedicated. They're so kind. They're so gracious. They're so loving. And I just think, well, yeah, I guess that's true about that person. But those are not the things I'm interested in focusing on. I'm interested in focusing on that person's arrogance and superiority. So these resonant qualities, these vibrational qualities, they're really present in me. And whenever I interact with that person, which I do have to do from time to time, that vibration is there. And they can feel it. They can feel I don't really like them that much. So this is my work. Right? This is my work. Now, it's not that I have to make this person my best friend. I don't. Or like them necessarily. I don't. But I do want to get to a neutral, centered place. I do want to focus on their positive attributes. And this is a practice that's going to help me not only in my life with that person and other people, but what's going to happen when you get a client that shows up that you don't like that client? you're going to have to figure out a way to work with them where you are focusing on their positives, where you are learning how to find the aspects of that that still live within you. So we're going to objectively observe our own thoughts and actions. And I love how a number of you, Angelica, you know, Heidi, a few of you, quite a few of you, were really able to objectively observe your own challenges that were your own thought process around your own mental patterns and your own thought process. And that's where we begin. We begin by being able to identify, wow, I'm stuck in this negative thinking pattern or this punitive thinking pattern that I do to myself, this unforgiving thinking pattern about my imperfections. So reactivity is the yellow brick road to spiritual growth. So whenever we see ourselves in reactivity, and that's reactivity, the example I just gave you even for myself, this person that I see that, wow, that's a reaction. I feel triggered by her. It's subtle. It's not huge. I can still be kind and gracious to her outwardly, but I want to work on that internal, messy, ugly part of myself, that ugly judgmental part. I want to work on that. So when I'm in reactivity, first thing I need to do is relax. Take a breath and take time. I might not see the lesson. I might not see exactly what it is I need to learn just yet. It might take me time to find that. And I need to allow myself the time for that lesson to unfold. I love this quote. I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. I am telling you it's going to be worth it. So one of the things that happens when clients come to me for work is that they come in with an issue. Okay, I want to get over, let me think of an example. I want to get over my, I want to lose 20 pounds and I'm going to get over my self-judgment about it. Okay, so we're going to be in a process around that that's going to take time. And there's oftentimes this expectation for a quick fix. And our culture just, you know, sign up for this workshop and lose 20 pounds in 10 days, you know, or sign up for this, get the magic secret to this and you'll be over that problem, boom, like that. Real change, real healing, real transformation almost always takes time because it must integrate with our whole being for it to really be holistically healthy. So your essential self is a state of being. And what we want to do, and what I love about these pictures, if you look at them, you can feel the frequency, you can feel the vibration coming off this page, off of these images, off of these beings. You know, Laura said she picked love, right? You can just feel the love just coming at you in each of their images. And so this is a frequency. Now, it doesn't mean you have to always sit with your clients with a big old smile on your face. You might not have a smile on your face, but the vibration is there and they can feel that. They can feel that compassion. They can feel that love. They can feel that unconditional positive regard and acceptance. And that in and of itself creates a healing state. So it doesn't matter if you don't do it perfectly. In fact, it's crucial that you do it imperfectly with your clients. Why? Because when you do it imperfectly, you give them permission to be imperfect. They're paying you to be imperfect with them. Trust me. Okay. Questions? Any questions about any of this? We can hold them for later, too.
I have a question.
Okay.
You said that, how do you know, like I put down someone in my family that causes triggers for me, and, you know, we had to write down qualities, but I feel like I observe that now rather than that I'm any of those qualities.
If you're triggered, yes, it can happen. But if you are triggered by it, you're not there yet.
Now,
Okay. The good news is you're also observing, right? Okay. So you're one step closer because you're able to observe it and detach from it. When you are no longer triggered, when you're completely neutral, then you've really made another level of progress.
So by trigger, you mean I still have an ugly thought?
I think that counts. That would count. Yeah.
All right, but I contain it, and then I move on. And
yeah, and then you work on. So the next question is, what's the spiritual quality that still needs work, right? So for me, I think in the person that I was talking about that triggered me and the superiority and arrogance, it's humbleness. I still think I'm better than her because I'm not arrogant like that, right? I mean, that's total arrogance, right? So my work is humbleness for that, all right? So for you, what might your work be with this person that triggers you?
Well, he says hurtful things. He blames me for things that have gone wrong in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had to put a boundary.
That's good. A boundary is good if you know, unkind energy or, you know, thoughts are coming at you. Absolutely, boundary's good. Maybe, so what may, of those seven qualities, right, what might it be that you, where you might need to still do some more work? I mean, it could be more than one too, but what jumps out for me in that, Martha, is compassion. Because why does somebody strike out? They're in pain, right? They're when, because they're in pain. So maybe, I mean, I'm just, that's what comes up in my thought. But what's really important for you is for you to find, you know, well, what do you feel it might be that you could use to work on, to develop more, especially in relationship to that person. Is that making sense?
I think she's gone.
We lost her. Okay.
Yeah, I saw her picture there and it went black. And then,
okay, so we'll come back to that.
I was looking for her too. I have a question. Because this is just a fascinating discussion for me. So the person I was thinking of, maybe what triggers is that secretly I want some of those, or maybe not so secretly, that maybe there's a layer within me, underneath me, that actually almost admires those qualities. So this particular person, I mean, they're pretty upfront about their demands. And part of me is looked at and go, your delivery is has something to be desired in the way they do that. But so as you were talking, I was like, well, maybe part of me actually wishes I had some of that quality that I could stand up and ask for what I want. And so I was wondering, is that something to consider as well?
Yeah, you're bringing up a really interesting point, right? So what we reject, we project, right? So what we reject could be a positive quality also, right? I'm admiring that person's capacity to be forthright or whatever, however you might want to describe it. So what would be the spiritual quality that's lacking for you in projecting that onto this other person? Of those seven qualities,
yeah, I'm not sure. I'm just entertaining even the idea that maybe I want to be like that, or there's some part of me that wants to be like that.
Well, the one that jumps out at me, if I may, is, and again, don't try it on if it doesn't fit, is integrity.
Oh yeah.
Okay, there's something about a lack of integrity when we don't speak up for our honor.
That's a really good one. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So I want to just bring this back up that during this course, I am offering a one-time special, a three-session special for a three-session shift. If you are interested in that, email me and I'll tell you more about it. But now I want to go to one last thing. This is a little quiz that I want you to take right now. And I want you to just do this by jotting down the number of whichever one you relate to help us discern whether we are reason, will, or emotion predominant. So if you identify, whichever one you identify, just put a check mark next to it. Just take a quick minute to write down the number of each one of those traits or each one of those questions, descriptions that you identify with within yourself. Do you need another minute or everybody done? We're all done? Okay. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to highlight whether it was reason, will, or emotion predominant. And oops, what happened? Oh, end of slideshow. I need to go back. Here we go. I guess I can't do it on this way. Let me... Lynn and Kimberly both have the answers, so I'll just tell them to you real quick, and then we're going to go into our breakout groups to discuss them. Number one is emotion, so just put an E for emotion. What I want you to do is I want you to total up the number of reason, will, or emotion responses that you gave. So number one is an E for emotion. Number two is will. Put a W next to it if you put down number two. Number three is E for emotion. Number four is R for reason. Number five is R for reason. Number six is E for emotion. Number seven is W for will. Number eight is E for emotion. Number nine is R for reason. Number 10 is W for will. Number 11 is R for reason. And number 12 is W for will. Okay. So count up, total up how many you got, reason, will, or emotion. Yes, Angelica?
Can you say what was number two again?
Number two is W for will. Okay, so total up your total. Laura, you have a question?
What does number 12 mean?
What does it mean?
Yeah, you feel micromanaged when told what to do.
Yeah, I mean, like you don't like somebody being too directive, like too instructional. Like, so say for example, you're driving and somebody's doing backseat driving and you hate that. That would be that would give you a W for will. If you hate backseat drivers, then that's a will. Okay? Will predominant.
Thank you.
Welcome. Yeah. All right. So, Lynn, do you want to break us into groups? And we're going to spend about 10 minutes talking about reason, will, and emotion. And also we can talk about, Lynn and Kimberly, if anybody wants to back up and talk about, you know, what spiritual quality you might need to work on based on some of the things that showed up with the person that you felt challenged by. We can also do that in our breakout groups, okay? So we'll take 10 minutes to do that, and then we'll come back together as a big group.
Hey, Martha, are you? Because I had Martha in a room.
I'm on the phone.
Okay, so you're this 252?
the 252 number.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I don't know why the Zoom quit working.
Okay. Let's see here. I'm just going to. All right. Here you go. We're beaming you up.
Thank you, Lynn.
Well, she did say 10 minutes, right?
I didn't hear how long she said.
Okay. I'm going to go to the other rooms and just make sure that I...
I think she said just 10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh. And let's see. Okay. Martha, Martha, you need to hit pound on your keypad, on your telephone keypad. Either that or hang up and join us again. I don't know if she hears me.
Got it.
Things that you want to share with the whole group.
Say, Laura, you were muted. I just unmuted you.
Oh, okay. So thank you. I just wanted to invite if there was any big ahas that anybody wanted to share with the whole group. Or insights, anything.
Oh, is that me?
Any sharings? Did you find out if you were reason, will, or emotion predominant? Yes? Okay, anybody get a surprise about what you found out for yourself? Okay, any surprised people want to share? I saw a couple head nods there. Yeah, Kim.
What I noticed was I am way more balanced than I was when I first learned this with you a few years ago, where I was very, very dominant emotion, and now I was very equal.
Wow.
So I feel like that's probably because of my ability to objectively observe myself and make better choices.
Yay, excellent. I love that you found that for yourself. Good, good, good. Anybody else want to share? Yeah, Angelica.
So I know I'm very well-centered in my relationship to my environment and to others, but the funny thing is I feel emotional on the inside, like in the privacy of my heart, I feel emotional, but consistently when I take these quizzes and in relationship, like I said, to the outside world, I'm consistently well-centered. So it's very interesting to me. I'm like, how do I reclaim the emotional part of me?
I love that you found that out for yourself. And we had another share in our group too, kind of a similar one. You know, what's interesting is how we tend to, I don't want to say this particularly about emotion because I think we could do it with any one of these. We keep where we feel most vulnerable, whether it's reason, will, or emotion, close to the chest, and outwardly in the world, we act where we're most comfortable, right? So it sounds like from what you're sharing, you're more comfortable revealing your will, your willfulness in your interactions with other people. So the challenge for you would be, where might you become willing to share your emotional self in your interactions? You know, what I love, I do a fair amount of couples counseling, and I also, I'm just kind of chuckling because I just did a session not long ago with a client who said, you know, he was telling me about, you know, how she wondered if her, you know, she wanted to tell her boyfriend that she really hated camping, and he wanted to take her camping, and he loves camping and she hates camping. And I said, well, have you told him that? Have you discussed that? No, I could never tell him that. Why not? You know, oh, you know, whatever her lots of reasons were, but it was terrifying for her to tell the truth. And, you know, this, and well, what would be the scary thing that would happen? Well, he would leave me, or he wouldn't like it, or he would be turned off, or, well, what if you told him that was your fear, that I'm really scared to tell you this because you won't like me, or you'll be turned off, you'll, what? Tell him that? Right? So many of us protect and hide our most vulnerable side. For some people, it might be our will. Like, oh, I'm going to be compliant because to show you my power is way too scary. For some people, I mean, I had a client who was like super, super smart. She learned how to hide her intellect because she would be, other people would find it intimidating. She couldn't share her brilliance. So is this making sense? You know, where and how do we hide our reason, our will, or our emotion because it feels too vulnerable? So I thought I would take a few minutes to do a little demo, and we don't have much time for a demo. And Debbie and I were you know, talking about how what came up for her might be a good brief demo. So are you comfortable to go ahead and do that, Debbie? We could do a little demo of how transpersonal energy healing works. And this is just going to be a very brief introduction to some of the skills and techniques that you can learn as a practitioner to apply to your practice. So, okay, so Debbie, go ahead and maybe start by just sharing the thing that you wanted to take a closer look at.
Yeah, I don't know what the process we're doing, but I'm curious about understanding this more. So my area that I was not dominant or least in was will, not being willful, not asserting my will, which makes sense because that sounds about right. And I had more equal parts in the reason and emotion. So partly I get confused sometimes with will because I'm very spiritually oriented. And so I do a lot of turning my will over to higher power, to God. But I know that as an individual self, I struggle with when I do need to assert my will and take action. And you were talking about the energy for the will is in the spine and the back. And that is my weakest area. You know, I've suffered from shoulder injuries and spine. And so I'm also wondering if there's any connection there that I don't have. And if working with this, like how I could, I don't even think about energy centers out back there. I just think about the front energy centers, which is where I kind of live in my heart, you know, these front chakras or my head when I'm in reason. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know that there were ones back there till I read your book. So how would I even access that? Or
Okay. So let me just make sure I've got you so far. So what happened for you just now is that in doing this little assessment, you sort of found that you are really had very little energy of your responses in the will category. And one of the questions that you have is how, because you're very spiritually oriented in your life, is how does my, what's the difference between my spiritual turning my will over to God and or just being in my own or what would be my own will and being in my own will in the world. And the other thing is that you kind of put together is that you have problems with your spine. And this is sort of a new awareness that will has to do with the spine and the energy centers in the spine. So have I got you right so far?
Yeah.
Okay. So you just smiled when I asked you that. What happened for you just sort of hearing me repeat it back? What was that like for you?
I felt really good. Like you really, that was so spot on to what I was communicating. That felt really good.
So that felt good just to feel like I understood you and I understood what you were communicating. Can you tell me like where or how you felt that good feeling?
In my heart.
Oh, in your heart. Yeah. And tell me about your spine and your back. Like what else do you notice about your body? So you felt that good feeling of me understanding you in your heart. But you also brought up this topic of your spine and these problems in your spine. So what are you noticing in your the rest of your body as we talk about this?
Well, it's funny. I'm wanting to lean forward, like you said, so I can have the brighter, but my back is like, it's so tired. So then I want to lean back and let my back rest. So I don't know. It's, I'm not sure. I know that, I don't think I normally have a lot of awareness of my back area. So
it's really interesting what you just said, because you said part of me wants to lean forward so I can be in the light, but my back is so tired that I want to lean back. Yeah. And you kind of leaned back when you said that.
And when I'm like this, I feel like I'm not in, I can't really sense my body, or I'm just doing this, holding this up for the camera. But when I'm back here, I feel like I can digest what you're saying and relax.
Okay.
And
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So there's this dance between, it sounds like some will energy, right? Like, do I lean forward to be in the light, or do I sit back so I can digest what you're saying? And you have a hard time feeling your back. That even noticing what that's like back there.
Yeah.
What's happening right now for you, just sort of in this exploration that we're doing?
I'm trying to not stay centered and not go into feeling anxious. I'm trying to stay centered to feel. I think I tend to not feel my body too much. Like that exercise you did at the very beginning was helpful for me, because I'm very connected with being, this is going to sound funny, but I feel connected. I'm definitely aware that I'm a spiritual being. I feel very very identified with who I am as a spiritual being, but not so much as a physical.
Mm-hmm.
I forget my body a lot of the time, and I'm just kind of, and that's probably related to the spine and the back and all this too.
Yeah. I love what you're saying, that what you're distinguishing here, like that you really are quite self-identified as a spiritual being, but not so much as a physical being. And that for you, there's some effort to remember you have a body, and you liked those opening exercises we did because it helped you kind of get connected and in touch with your body.
Yeah.
And also, even as you're talking and sharing with all of us, you're kind of noticing like you're really wanting to work to not feel anxious, to feel anxiousness come up.
Because then I'll just leave my body and I won't be able to figure out what's going on.
So leaving your body is something that sounds like you're also aware that when you leave your body, it's hard for you to actually figure out what's going on.
Yeah, definitely.
So what are you noticing in your body right now?
Just trying to manage not anxiousness, trying to manage. I think I'm feeling a little bit anxious because I think that this may sound strange or odd, but it's very familiar to me. That's kind of how I work in the world, is working at trying to stay in my body. And,
Debbie, what are you feeling as you say that it's how you work in the world, really trying to stay in your body? What happened there when you said that?
That's true. And I just felt like, yeah, that's really true. Because I could easily just float around.
Yeah.
Spiritual it's, world and like never.
Yeah. Was there any emotion that came up around that? When you said, yeah, it's true. What are you feeling? What's the emotion that's there?
I'm not sure. Seriousness. Some kind of gravity or seriousness.
Yeah, I felt that too. I felt something shifted. Yeah. And so something became serious. Yeah. Some gravity to that. Yeah. When you said that.
Yeah, I think, it's actually a struggle. It's not an easy process for me.
I really hear that you've really honed in on naming the struggle. This is a struggle for you to stay in your body, to not leave. Talking about it brings up some anxiousness. There's some seriousness that comes up for you around it. And I'm wondering, as you're naming it so clearly right now, what's it like to just sort of like, okay, it's out on the table. Like we've sort of named this challenge, this struggle.
I feel kind of vulnerable because doing it in a large group.
Yeah.
But it feels authentic and it feels an integrity. It's the truth. And I do live in that space, so it's hard to not say anything that isn't. Does that make sense? I don't know.
It absolutely does. So there's an integrity in naming it and a truth in naming it. What are you noticing in your back, if anything, right now? What's your spine or your back like right now, just sort of naming this out loud, saying all this out loud?
I do feel a little bit more connected to my torso, and I feel warmer. Really cold all the time, but I'm feeling a little warmer right now.
How about that? Isn't that amazing? Just from naming this truth for you, in this integrity for you, your body feels warmer, and you feel a little bit more in your back.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, beautiful. So I want to I think this might be a good stopping place for right now. So I want to kind of summarize what we just did and then give a little time for questions or feedback from the group. We started out by talking about this dilemma of, you really this very spiritual person And the question for you comes up around, you know, where is it my will? Where do I surrender my will? And where do I have my own will? And at the same time as sort of introducing that, you were aware that this sort of newness around, I didn't even know that chakras had a back side to them, and that, and I have problems with my spine and with my back, and I had very little, responses to this will energy, and there was a connection that you were sort of figuring out and naming. And then as we talked further, we find that, you know, that really one of the things that you do is that you leave your body a lot when you get anxious. That it's, you know, you appreciated this sort of doing this little grounding that we did in the beginning because it helped you be in your body, but you haven't had much awareness of being your body and that you actually tend to leave. And then just by sort of naming these things and talking about them out loud, you actually started to feel warmth happen in your body and feel more aware of your spine. And it felt really authentic. And even though it was vulnerable, you felt authentic and you felt true and you felt more warmth as a result. So how was it just to sort of hear me summarize that?
It was great. You captured all of it.
You got a little smile on your face. It just like, it felt great just to have it captured. Beautiful. So this was a little mini demo of transpersonal energy healing, dissolving subconscious cellular patterns, and that what Debbie and I just did here together. And this is the process that you all will learn through this training, through this module training program, is how to do what I was just doing with Debbie. And, you know, Kimberly and Lynn and Jill and Jan have all been, and Chris have all been sort of doing already, and Valerie doing some of this work already and seeing the results of what happens. So I want to open it up now to see if there's any feedback you would like to give, like how this might have landed for you in hearing what Debbie just did in her process. You might have had some, how did it touch you? If anybody would like to share, or any questions that you might have. We've got about 7 more minutes to kind of talk about all of that. Any feedback for Debbie?
I'd like to say that it was just beautiful to watch. And I understand how vulnerable she felt being there. And I'm really hoping that she feels very validated now, because, you know, when you feel like that, you think I'm the only person and everybody's going to think I'm strange and weird, and we don't. So I applaud her for doing that. And I really am glad I got to watch it.
Debbie, how'd that land with you? Do you want to respond to Valerie's feedback there?
Thank you. That helped. That was meant a lot to me, because I do feel different, and you know, I do feel like I was just speaking what was true for me, but my mind does want to think like that probably sounded very unrelatable and strange, but so thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. I feel teary.
Yeah, beautiful. Anybody else? Feedback for Debbie. How this touched you or landed with you?
I share our Valerie's feelings about that too. You know, I didn't feel, Debbie, I didn't feel you were strange at all for having those feelings. I felt it was actually fascinating to feel that way. And I definitely acknowledge that, you know, your courage in doing that work in front of the group. So thank you.
I'd like to say, Debbie, that I can say not that long ago, I was in the same position of not being able to, or being uncomfortable connecting with my body and being happier and more comfortable up here in that spiritual realm. And so watching you go through that really touched me, because it wasn't that long ago where I was experiencing very similar situation. And, you know, honestly, this work has helped me be so much more aware of my pattern of kind of leaving, checking out, and not being comfortable within my body. And the skills that I have learned have really not just helped me see what I'm doing, but choose to be more connected and feel safer in my body. So thank you for letting us experience that with you.
Okay, thanks, Kimberly. Anybody else?
I would like to thank you for letting, I was going to say all of us, I just want to speak for myself. I want to say thank you for letting me be there to support you and to learn through you as well. It's a real privilege. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn. I just want to say a couple things about the process itself, because one of the things that's so uniquely different about what we're teaching here is that if you noticed, mostly what I did was just repeat back what I heard Debbie say to make sure I understood her. And that gave her the time and the space she needed to feel how it was landing within her. And then the directives that I gave were really about how does this feel in your body, right? So bringing in those questions, what are you noticing now as we talk about it? And by allowing that time and that space and that presence, right, that we talked about, the healing presence, it allowed the energy to begin to move. And lo and behold, what happened by the end, Debbie, is you talked about, I feel warm, right? That's the energy has heat. So when energy is in movement, starts to go into movement, it generates heat. So there was movement beginning to happen in the spine and through the spine and in the body. And so and thank you so much for your willingness to be a demo in this, because it was really a beautiful little Cliff Note demo that that showed some of the processes that by the which this the potency of this works, that really the energy body is what informs the mind. The wisdom lives in the energy body. This is not psychotherapy. This is not cognitive behavioral therapy. It has components of that because it uses a lot of reflecting, but it keeps redirecting us, our attention back to the energy body. And in doing that, this is what changes the subconscious cellular patterns that have been living within us from the time of the original wounding that happened in our childhood. There are reasons that you learned how to leave your body to take care of you. It's really important in a really important way, but now it's not serving you so much because you've got problems with your spine or, you know, other issues that show up in our lives. So that's why we want to come and do this work, because it really allows us to begin to live up to our more full potential. So I want to just give a moment to do a checkout, and if we could just do a one word or a two word closing, because we're just about out of time. So Heidi, would you like to start us off with just how you're doing right now with one or two words?
Thoughtful.
Okay. Thank you. Jill.
Be in my body.
Great. Thank you. Jan.
Fascinated.
Lynn.
Integrating.
Great. Valerie.
Encouraged and grateful.
Angelica.
Overwhelmed.
Okay. Breathing. Kimberly.
That's grounded.
Thank you. Christopher.
Appreciative.
Thank you. Debbie.
Very grateful.
Great. Thank you. Ruby.
I feel grateful and connected.
Beautiful. Laura.
Rewiring.
Thank you. Martha. I don't know if we can't hear you, Martha.
now?
Yes, now we can. Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Loving the process and loving all of y'all.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Martha. Chris.
Connected.
Beautiful. And for me, happy. I feel happy. And thank you all so much. It was just beautiful work, beautiful class today. And I'll look forward. We will get you the future homework assignments really soon, hopefully in the next couple of days. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks, everybody. Bye.